So in this particular incident, it was a quite a large boy. So it's a grey boy, grey coloured boy, which would be fairly bog standard. And it came ashore during a bad weather, a period of bad weather a few weeks ago. And it ended up on the rocks. So at that stage, it was assumed that we would normally go and collect stuff like that anyway, between blue barrels and any big boys like that, any big objects, we'd try and remove them quickly off the beach. But we couldn't in this case for a few days because the weather was so bad, the swells were not great. And what transpired then was because we couldn't get access to the boy actually broke apart. And inside these boys is contained polystyrene. And it's similar to the stuff that you take out when you buy a new fridge or a washing machine or whatever it is. You've got it actually protected by polystyrene, white polystyrene. When you pull out the pieces of polystyrene, it's only when you break them apart that they actually break then into small little micro particles. And in effect, what was happening then, the boy broke apart and then the polystyrene inside it started to get broken up by a process of it being smashed up against the rocks. So probably over a million of these tiny little beads started to come ashore on the immediate area where the boy came ashore. And this was just, if you like, if you're looking out from Derrynane Bay, just on the left-hand side, just above where the ship house is, that beautiful building that was built in the 50s. So we immediately got on the case, which would have been a Tuesday a few weeks ago, and called to action over social media and on phones. And we got a number of people down initially. And then eventually we were joined by about maybe 10 volunteers over the following days. We put in about 100 hours of voluntary effort to actually clean this up. And you're literally talking about picking pieces, tiny little micro beads up by your finger or sweeping brushes or however way we could actually get at them. And that's really essentially the process of what happened and how we responded to it.
Yeah. And what are you, what stage are you at in the cleanup, or is it something that's going to take a long time, or given it's so widespread, I suppose it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I think at this stage now, because we've had changes in directions of wind, of currents, of course, the tides, a lot of that would get washed out and then redistributed then across a vast area of the beach. And in walking that last week with a doctor from University College Galway from NUIG, Dr. Eugene Farrell, who's a coastal geographer. We've set up a process now where we're actually going to do sampling of the aspects, places within the sand system. And we'll do that twice a fortnight. And then we'll collect the data for the next 6 months to see how far the beads have spread. So the cleaning at the moment then is just on a very kind of low key basis because we got quite a lot of it. But now we're just going around the back of areas of the beaches and around the corner into the lagoon area where we're just picking up small bits, as much as we can find, really, and any big bits then that remain. We'll keep working away. This is going to take months, really, to get to the end of it. Sadly, I think though, the remaining beads that are there will probably be in the environment for decades to come.
And you're talking about a long time, and that's the impact that it has. And I suppose it goes to everything we're talking about in terms of the plastics that are in the ocean, the fishing gear that sometimes gets deposited. I notice work being done with different fishermen in different countries in relation to that washes up on our shore. But all that, I guess, needs to be looked at because sometimes things can go wrong like this, and it can end up being a huge cleanup, a huge, resources and time, and obviously environmental damage.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just on from the fishing community's perspective, there's a fantastic scheme now where fishermen are actually collecting plastic waste and ocean-borne plastics directly from the sea itself. So that's really wonderful, and they're bringing that back into port to be disposed of. So they're great efforts on behalf of the fishing community. That's wonderful to see.
Yeah, certainly is. On a separate issue, Vincent, look, we've had the story and the concerns expressed by Birdwatch Ireland for the case of bird flu detected in a raven off the Kerry coast. Was it Skellig Michael? We understand where that was found,
Yeah.
and is it a concerning development? Have you seen anything on the coastline in terms of our own bird population?
So I would survey the area, really just putting my eyes across Derrynane in particular. So last week I was out at Two Headed Island, which there's two small islands just off the bay in Derrynane Bay. One is Two Headed, the other is Moylan. And I was actually out there just to do a tern survey. So we have common terns and Arctic terns that actually nest there each summer. And for the first time in my life, and to my surprise, I came across many nests with dead chicks in them. And immediately, having heard the reports of avian bird flu found on the Raven from Skellig Michael, I, you know, thought that maybe there is the possibility that at least avian flu might be present in the wild bird populations here at Derrynane. If that's the case, that's quite worrying. So, you know, to actually see that, to witness that, I've been in touch with the Department of Agriculture and the Marine. So I've actually filled in the form in relation to reporting that particular finding of the tern chicks. Who knows? I don't know if that will be followed up. They say it will. If it is, we'll have to probably get somebody out there and we'll have to see if there are any more mortalities amongst the adult population. But it's worrying.
Yeah, you'd have to keep a close eye on that to see what's happening. And the public are being asked to watch out for birds displaying unusual behavior and also dead birds as well.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think, you know, apart from the, you know, the effect, the potential effect on wild bird populations, because in Scotland you're seeing, you know, colonies being decimated, I think that in Ireland, shudder to think the effect that maybe bird flu might have on the populations already extant there on Skellig Michael and the gannets nearby on Little Skellig and also Bull Rock. We could be witnessing the possibility of mass mortality of our marine birds. And then, of course, there's the possibility of, the transfer of the flu into our domestic poultry stock. So that's very worrying as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, Vincent, look, thanks very much for highlighting that for us on the program this morning.
You're welcome.